How many of you had the opportunity to go down to the Pioneer Rally? I think most. Very good. Yesterday morning, there was the three speakers that were preaching, Pastor Cox, Pastor Gooding, and Pastor Heinberg. Each one of them, during their sermons, asked a question, and no doubt this wasn't planned, but through the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe these three questions are very crucial for us to understand. Pastor Gooding, and this wasn't in order, but for me to make it fit, I had to kind of do some rearranging. But Pastor Gooding, when he preached, he asked the question, can you see? And in the context of his sermon, he was talking about reaching the cities. And he asked, can you see the need? Can you see that there is people that are waiting? Can you see that there is cities that are there that have nobody to preach to them? I'm not sure who brought this statistic out. I actually think it was during a offering. Somebody said that within the next couple years, they're estimating 4 million more people are going to be entering into the Phoenix metropolis area. And so, I mean, that's an incredible amount of people. And already we think, oh, Phoenix, it's inundated with pastors there. But, you know, it just goes to show you that there are more people that are waiting for people to see us, disciples, to see, and not only just to see, but to respond to that need. Pastor Cox, he was preaching and he asked the question, what are you doing? What are you doing to bring God's calling in your life to pass? What are you doing to align your will up with God's will? Are you living right? Are you pressing forward? Are you involved in what God would have you do? And then lastly, Pastor Heinberg, he preached and he asked the question, is there a place for you in the kingdom of God? Powerful, powerful preaching that we heard on Saturday. And if we are to continue to move forward, if we're going to have longevity, we as men and especially as disciples are going to have to answer these three questions on a personal level, because there still remains much work to be done. I'm going to give a lesson on the senders, the laborer, and the cities out of Luke 10, 1 through 9. That's going to be our main text. And Tyson, if you could read that, Luke 10, 1 through 9. Then we're going to need Acts 28, 10. If I could get Andy to read that, Acts 28, 10. Luke 10, 2. Alan, if you could read that, Luke 10, 2. Caleb, if you could read Luke 10, 3. Anthony, Luke 10, 8 through 9. And then Woody, if you can get John 9, 4 through 5. We're going to look at this briefly this morning. So if I could get Luke 10, 1 through 9.
After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you.
All right, let's talk firstly about the senders. And the simple question is, can you see? And so it takes a spirit of evangelism to be an effective sender. But it also requires a response. This isn't going to happen automatically. People aren't just going to be sent. And you know, we're not just going to send them on their way, wave up, you know, our flags and say, oh, we launched people out. But it's going to take for people to respond to this need, to see the need, to send, and be faithful to send laborers into the harvest field. And so much of the Christian world keeps their best, right? They fill their churches, their mega churches, with the best people that they can find. And that's their bragging points, right? Oh, we have this person, we have that person here that attend our church. But our fellowship, we've often noticed, is that we send out our best. We don't keep them here within the local body, but rather, Pastor Mitchell has always had a heart to send out the best people that we have. And then also, I've seen people. There was a guy that we knew. He had gone to Bible school, and he had was part of some. I think it was a Methodist church here. They hired him on. He had a calling to go to California to pioneer, to do something that. For God over there, where there was nothing in a city. But the thing is the church never sent him. He actually had to go out and look for funds and look for ways to get out there. And so this is how the fellowship, or not the fellowship, the religious world functioned. However, in our fellowship, we send with everything necessary. At least that's what we do here in Prescott. Is we send with everything that the laborer is going to need. We send with all the necessary equipping. And so this is what Jesus is speaking about in our text. He says, don't worry about what you're going to take with you, because that'll be provided for you. Don't worry, in verse 4, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals on your way. And so in essence, he's saying, don't worry, because that so often becomes the mindset or the mind battle of the pioneer or of the person who is taking over a work, is when I get there, what am I going to have to offer? But Jesus is challenging them, and he's saying, you don't have to worry so much about that. All you have to do is go. Pray that somebody will send you. Pray that there's going to be willing people in that congregation to send the worker. And so here we see that the congregation backed the idea of being senders through prayer and finances. Verse 2, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so it's this spirit of evangelism that gripped the hearts of the people, and folks started rising up to send. People want to do more for God, even if you can't go. Right? That becomes so... Often the lie and the strategy of hell is, well, you were divorced while you were in the fellowship, or you can't go, or you in your mind you think that you can't speak, but that doesn't limit you from being a sender. That doesn't limit you from investing into world evangelism. That doesn't limit you from giving in a pledge or in an offering to see souls saved. Let's get a... Did I get Luke 10:1? No, I don't think I did. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city where he himself was about to go. So Jesus is about to do something. Jesus is on a mission, right? He's going. And no doubt that is the hope that the sender must see. Is that when we do send, our finances or our money isn't going to go in vain, but rather Jesus is going to go before these laborers, and we are placing our trust and our finances and our confidence in what Jesus can do. Right? We don't send because people are these absolutely stellar specimens of the human race. We send because we see that Jesus has done something in their lives, and we see the possibilities of what Jesus can do in a city through this individual. And that's why we send. And that's why we have to continue sending. And so what is required of a sender is the ability to see a need and release resources in order to support the work. What we do, it requires financial backing. We talk about wanting to send, wanting to launch people, but never give to world evangelism or outreach. It's got to be more than just talk. It's got to be more than just hearing an offering pulled and saying, yeah, that sounds great, one day I'll give. It has to be something that you're doing now. Because one day, disciple, you are going to be the one that's benefiting from the sender. And one day you are going to be the one that's going to be writing your gold sheet, sending it in. Should you be pioneering, you're going to send in your projection for what you need, right? And the heart of this fellowship has always been to send you with whatever is necessary. That doesn't happen automatically, though. Senders are required. Senders are needed. Acts 28:10.
They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary.
And so here is the story of the Apostle Paul. He's shipwrecked on the island of Malta. God does incredible things there. That's where he's bitten by the snake, and the people say, hey, this guy, surely he's going to die, you know, and he shakes it off and nothing happens, and this opens the door, an effective door for these to get saved, to be touched by the power of God. And these are heathens, the Bible calls them. The Bible calls these people absolute barbarians, godless individuals. But yet when they saw the need, when Paul was leaving, they saw the need to send him with everything necessary. And so if God can move on the heart of heathens, how much more should he move on the heart of believers, of men, of disciples? And so here is the challenge for each and every one of us, is can you see the need, and not only see it, but support that need? Can you see? Secondly, I want to talk about the labor. What are you doing? Disciple, perhaps you have felt or know the calling that God has placed on your life, but what are you doing to bring that to pass? Is that just it? It's a calling? Oh, I feel called. I'm going to show up to Serious Man. I'm going to run a couple outreaches. But behind the scenes, what's going on? Behind the scenes, what are you doing? Are you doing it with the right heart because you want to see souls saved, or are you doing it because you want people to see you? What are you doing? That's a question that we have to answer. What am I doing in my life to bring that call that no doubt many of you feel in this place? What are you doing to bring that to pass? And so, no doubt, being a man of God, being a disciple, being a laborer, it's just that. It's hard work, right? Very hard work. I think Jonathan Heimberg said, you know, Pastor Greg mentioned to him, if you want to be a man of God, it's going to take some stinking hard work. You can't be afraid of hard work. Right? And so on the job, you know, you're probably the hardest working person there. But when it comes to kingdom business, do you put that same effort, do you put that same tenacity into the work of God? And so that's the thing, is it's going to take some stinking hard work. It's going to take some laboring. And sometimes it's nonstop. I keep telling my wife, after this month, we're going to rest. I think I've been saying that since I got here 3 years ago. And so it's going to take some hard work, but how many of you know God is faithful to honor the labor of His people? God is faithful to move and to bless. And so it's always been the labor that's the heartbeat of our fellowship. It's always been the labor that has carried this work. To quote Pastor Heimberg, he says, you know, every city that we see, these grand places that we see that are being touched, they weren't touched automatically. It took a labor to go in there and stink and work hard. And so, let's read Luke 10:2.
Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
So many people, this is where they lose sight. And so they look at the work, they see the great task that is before them, and they say, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to do that. Some people count the cost, and they're not willing to pay it. And so some, tragically, only rely on calling. They never take it beyond calling. Yes, I feel called. Yes, Pastor, I want to do something for God. Okay, what are you doing? We see these incredible men of God. Pastor Campbell preached an amazing sermon on a journey with God. Pastor Mitchell, where do you see him now? Pastor Heinberg, Pastor Gooding, his opening line, and my mind was already blown. It's incredible. You see these men, Pastor Heinberg, you see them where they're at now. You see them ministering and stirring us and bringing challenges to our lives. They didn't get there just by calling alone. It took stinking hard work. Some of you maybe have even aspired and said, you know what, I want to preach like them one day. I want to be like them. It's going to take some hard work to do that. One thing, Pastor Greg, one time we were just talking and he said this, and I don't think he meant it to be this incredibly profound thing, but for me it was like, you know, we all know Pastor Greg, he's one of the clearest and most amazing preachers that I've ever heard in my life. You know, and we hear some very good preaching, but Pastor Greg, he has the ability to connect and communicate, and there's an anointing, and there's the Holy Spirit that's involved when he preaches. But he said this one thing. He says, next year I want to be a better preacher than I am this year. And I said, what? But where he is, it didn't happen automatically. It takes hard work. It takes labor. And so if you're not going to labor, this is, you know, we've heard this many times, if you're not going to labor in your home church, what makes you think you're going to do it in a city all by yourself with your wife? And perhaps your kids. I'm glad I have Navarro because he's like my follow-up director. He goes and he talks to everybody. But if you're not doing something now, what are you doing now? To bring God's will, to bring God's purposes, to bring what God wants to do in your life, what are you doing now to bring that to pass? And so there's an element of personal dominion that we have to work on. There has to be an element of things, learning how to deal with people, learning how to have personal fruitfulness, learning how to work and figure out issues. And so how many of you know hell is going to come against you? We've often heard the story, Pastor, every time I make a decision to do something for God, all hell breaks loose. And often that's the strategy to get you to say, man, I'm not willing to pay this cost. I'm not willing to work this hard. It's easier just to fly under the radar and just come to church. I'll be involved in the little ministries that I have when I have time to do them and when I have time to give 100% or whatever percent you give. But if you want more, how many of you know God's kingdom is moving forward? And God wants to take us to that transcendent place, a place that's beyond ourselves. It's going to take some work. Luke 10:3.
Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves.
So this is the reality of it. I'm sending you out like lambs amongst the wolves. There's going to be assaults from hell that are going to come against you, that are going to come against your family. But there, if that element of fruitfulness, if that element of dominion, if that element of God working supernaturally in your life is already a part of it, then you already have a leg up on the competition. You already have something that can help you in these situations. And so it's important to remember that often the labor that we do for the kingdom of God is a labor of love. You're not going to get rich doing what we do. And often it's just simply because you see broken people that come in and they get touched by the power of God. And yeah, they come in with all their issues and you have to work through those issues. Work through those situations and scenarios that pop up. Weird things happen. Crazy things happen. It's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? It's a labor of love. No doubt there are people that are changed today because a pastor cared about them enough to work with them. Enough to labor alongside of them as they made it through their issues and their problems. Sometimes you're going to feel like quitting. Sometimes you're going to feel like, I'm going to throw this all in. What for? Where's the benefit? But then that one person makes it all worth it. What are you doing now? Not everybody's going to warm up to you. Not everybody's going to like you. You're going to have to bring down, you know, judgment on Mijo. And Mama's not going to like it. But that doesn't mean you stop. That doesn't mean you quit working. There's a special grace provided for the laborer, for one who will align their will with God's will. And I'm asking you, are you willing to work? Are you willing to labor, to put in the work? Because being in the will of God, doing a work for God, there's nothing better than doing that. And so what are you doing to bring that about in your life? Lastly, let's talk about the cities. Is there a place for you in God's kingdom? The last question that was asked yesterday. Is there a place for you? And often this is the question that many disciples ask. How do I know, or how do I find the will of God for my life? And I believe that knowing the answer to this question begins with surrender. Begins with a complete and 100% surrender to God. And it's not like this blueprint. Once you surrender and you say, oh God, my, you know, I surrender my life to you. I surrender all. It's not like then, okay, God's going to be like, okay, let's roll this out. I got this tremendous plan. Just wait till you hear it. Let me pitch it to you. Often it's just little things that God says, I want you to do this. And in surrender we say, okay, I'm going to do that. Because once you surrender, what ends up happening is that our heart becomes obedient. And that is what else you need to find the will of God in your life, is obedience. Obedience to what God would say. Once you surrender, it's easy to obey. It's not a fight anymore, right? It's not like, you know, God put something on, here we go. No, once you surrender, God put something on your heart and you're like, yes. Yes, let's do it. There's a supernatural confidence that comes in. There's something that God does to the heart that just says, yes. God, whatever you ask of me, whatever you want me to do, whatever it is, just speak it and I'll do it. Let's read Luke 10, 8 through 9.
Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you.
And so the other thing, the last thing that we need to find the will of God for our lives is to preach. Is to go out and speak His word. It says, go into these cities, whatever city you enter. Proclaim the gospel, heal the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the kingdom of God is looking to advance, but it's going to need some people. It's going to need senders, and it's going to need laborers. If we're going to be effective in these cities, in this place where God wants us to be, then it's going to require some things. It's going to require you to find out. Just because you know I'm a pastor doesn't mean that you know I know every single plan that He has for every single one of your lives. That's up to you to find out. Every day, my prayer every day is, God, make Your will known to me. Let me understand, let me know it, and let me have clarity into what You would have me do. Give me wisdom, because I can't do this on my own. My steps end up wandering off into no man's land. But God, You need to ordain my steps. You need to show me, God, make Your will plain in my life. Let me understand it so that I can do it. And so if you've ever toyed or thought of the possibility of doing something for God, whatever it may be, now is the time to do it. Not later when the kids grow up or when you know, when all your ducks are in a row. Because those darn ducks, they never line up. Right? Now is the time to do it. John 9, 4 through 5.
I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
So as our text tells us, the fields are truly white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. There's people that are not willing to work. There's people that are not willing to send. Not willing to give. They know we need to. But they're not willing to respond. And then some people see the work that is involved in all that we do. And they say, you know what, that's too much. But you know what, like I said, God has promised a great revival. But it's only connected, or it's only going to come when we answer these three questions personally. Can you see? What are you doing? And where does God want you? Is there a place for you in the kingdom? Absolutely. God has destiny and purpose and plans for every single believer, every single disciple. And you can know the will of God. And there are people, there are cities that wait for a sender and for laborers. That's all I got. Is there any questions?
You had mentioned in your second point about having the right heart and outreaches. You're working with people, but you do have a right heart behind the scenes. How do you differentiate? Because I know in my life, my heart, there is that where you're like, well, if I do this, then I'll catch the high pass. But then on the flip side, it's like I'll tell myself no, I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do, just because it needs to be done. So how do you because there's those two battling on the inside. How do you know that your motives are right?
Right. And so that's the thing, is they're not always right. But in faithfulness, it brings out what needs to be brought out. Is a continuation, right? So often what happens is people get stirred, people get inspired to do something. Their heart is right at that moment. Yes, we're going to do something for God. We're going to press forward. They possibly tell their wives, you know what, we're going to do something for God. Their wife laughs at them because they've said that 75 million times before, right? But then once you make that decision to do something for God and you follow through with that decision, there's that element of faithfulness, and God blesses that. Is there times where I'm, am I always batting 1,000? No. There's times where, yes, there are going to be situations or things that come, that rise up in my own heart. But it's always coming back and saying, God, this is what You placed on my heart. This is what I'm leaning. Your word, not mine. Because the words that I'm about to speak right now aren't Yours. but it's your word that I'm going to rely on. And, you know, my wife and I, we made that decision long ago. We're not going to do this for anybody else. We're not even going to do this for us. We're going to do it for God. Whether I feel like it or not, that's going to be our decision together, is that we're gonna do it for God. And so mainly, when I said that, that's just because behind the scenes, it's easy to fall back on our lower nature. You know what I mean? You get involved in things. Oh, well, nobody's watching. I'm not at church. Am I? You know, nobody's around that's going to see me do this. And so we can easily disqualify ourselves, you know, by our hearts when nobody's watching, our character, right? And so it's persevering, and it's saying, you know what, I'm going to make a stand even when nobody else is there. Isaac?
So when you decide to do something for God, I know, you know, this happened in my life, you know, hell will come against you. Does your reaction to that, when that happens, can that change, like, future attacks? Like, instead of backing off, if you, like, press in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's going to be something that, number one, it's going to build a testimony. And what does the Bible say? That they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? And so that's what's going to be built in you, is a testimony of, you know what, devil, last time you tried to bring something against my life, I made a stand for righteousness, and God moved tremendously. I'm going to rely on that, right? And so there's that element of, you know what, I'm gonna press through even when the devil is coming at me, you know. I'm going to do things that the devil is assaulting, and perhaps it's your finances and you know, the best strategy in that area is to give, right? You're showing that I'm not going to lay down and take this, you know? And so, you know, that's what the devil does, is if he can get you to stop every time he brings an attack, then he's always going to bring the attack. But if he realizes, oh, they mean business.
He gets stronger when I do this.
Yeah. You know, and that doesn't mean that he, you know, so then there's going to be other strategies and other things that he's going to, you know, try and use. But ultimately, it's going to, that testimony is what's going to help you.
So we can use that as a reference point that
absolutely.
When I pressed in, then he took off and I...
Yeah, God moved.
God moved.
Yeah, God helped. Eli?
How do you keep from getting discouraged with lack of results when it comes to fruitfulness and things like that?
And so are they results that are lacking as far as your time frame? Go?
Yeah.
It's just simply relying on God. God's timing is perfect, right? And so, you know, when you don't get the perceived results in the time frame that you want, you know, that doesn't mean that God isn't listening or that God doesn't care. It's just simply perhaps he's trying to teach you to wait on him, right? We often hear, oh, you need to put action to your faith. But waiting is an action. And just waiting for that right time, for that right moment, for that right opportunity where God moves, you know? And it's always perfect. You know, you may stress out and want to take matters into your own hand before that comes, but that's always dangerous in doing. And so everything that God does in our lives, every situation that God brings before us, is to stretch us, right? It's to grow us. It's to make us rely and trust on Him. You know, it's like, I was talking to Pastor Heinberg months ago, probably about a year ago or so, and the subject of education came up, you know, and he, you know, is it right or wrong to go get an education if you feel called? And so he said something very interesting. He's like, you know what, after high school, I graduated, but then I went right into the ministry. I did things for God. And he's like, and that has caused me to rely 100%, because I have nothing else to fall back on. For me, and that was true for me, it's like, for me, I have nothing else. What am I going to do? Go back to Superior and be a painter? I don't want to do that. I want to reach souls for God. you know. And I loved Superior. It was an awesome job. It was, you know, it came at an incredible time in my life. It blessed me. But I don't want to go back to that. You know what I mean? I don't want to fall back. So God, this has to work. God, and so there are times where God places things or situations in our lives or things that we know we need to pray about, right? And we contend and we say, God, I need you to, this has to work out, God. I need you to help me in this. I need you to help me grow in this situation, in this area of my life. You know?
In talking about like faithfulness and pressing in when, you know, assaults come, or you say we're going to do something for God, etc. Did you see a lot of that? I mean, like come to play when you're in Española. You know what I mean? Like things you learned here, things you worked on here. I mean, did you? You're building reference points here. Were you able to look back on times here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing, when I came back, there were some things that were going on, some situations, and you know, one thing Pastor Greg mentioned to me, because I was talking to him, he's like, hey, you were listening in serious men. And I said, absolutely I was listening in serious men. Because there was an incredible amount of time, almost daily, that I would reference something that he said. Or a lesson that he gave. You know what I mean? Or situations that I had faced with people here, that I learned how to deal with people there so that I didn't kill them out there. You know, detonate the whole situation. Right? But absolutely, yeah, there are things that I did here, that I learned here, that I was able to apply in the field. And no, I'm sure Heath can attest to that. Anybody else that has pastored, you can attest that there are things. You know, I had Stephen Cassio call me. He's like, bro, it was like all I had to do was look at the serious men, and I knew how to answer everything that this person was telling me, you know. And it's like, that's what it talks about in our text. There's going to be an equipping. You're going to go out. Yeah, you're going to go out like lambs to the wolves, but there is going to be a supernatural equipping that you're going with. And that's powerful. What a blessing that our pastor takes the time to sit down with us and to show us and to help us along the way. Because if you're like me, you need a lot of help. So yes, things that you learn here, take them with you.
What are the things that you discovered once you got to Espanol that you probably should have worked on a little more here?
Absolutely. There's always things that you can work on. Like I said, God is always working. God is always stretching us. God is always bringing us to situations and to things that it's like, man, you know. But that's why we have our pastor. Their availability is incredible. There's times where I would just say, help. With what? And I'd lay out the situation. You know, the famous quote, you got call of the day. I've gotten call of the day before. Anyone else? Questions? Good questions so far. You awake?
Getting there.
Okay, good. Same here. Any other questions, guys? If you didn't get a chance to go to the Pioneer Rally, you need to make plans. Do whatever it takes to get there next year. Even if it's just a Saturday. This was inspired all on Saturday. And I had wrote them, and I had actually, in my thing, I wrote the first two questions, and before even Pastor Heinberg stood up there, I wrote the three questions that were asked at the Pioneer Rally, not even knowing if he would ask a question. And once he asked it, I was like, yes, he has a question. Absolutely, absolutely valuable to have these, you know, rallies and things that help us, especially you, if you want to pioneer, if you want to go out and do something for God, these are absolutely crucial. If you weren't able to go, get the tapes. Don't break them, though. Anybody else? Last, real quick, before we wrap it up. All right. Cool. Very good, guys.